Well, we are still in Romans, and we've got another week to go. Next week is my very favorite Bible verse of all time, but we'll get to that next week. So, this is our third week of working our way through some, at least, of Paul's letter to the church in Rome, and we've learned a few things, or at least I hope we have learned a few things. We learned that maintaining contact with others builds relationships and that this takes time and effort on our part. We learned that the church in Rome and the church now consists of a variety of people with varying ways of approaching faith. We learned that God's salvation is for everyone and there's more than enough to go around. We learned that Paul is bold in his proclamation, even though he knows it pushes the boundaries of the status quo. And I think this is what he would have us do. Now, I also told you the story of the pea soup. Do you remember that one? You remember that my mother swore? Pea soup, which ended up everywhere, just like God's love flowing out over our small containers into the world. And I will tell you, since I started here in November, I have read every single sermon note that has come across my desk. I love them. I love reading them. I've only gotten one question the entire time, because there's a little spot for if you have any questions, you know, just write them down here. Never got a question. Usually it's like the answer to that one is like, nope, or nah, or no. I got a question last week. And it was, how long did it take you to clean up the pea soup? Now, you might laugh, but I think this is a very good question. And I will answer the question by saying it took about 2 hours to clean that up. And obviously, as I mentioned last time, we kept finding it for years. So, the pea soup story is one of my classic stories to tell. But one of the things I've also done the last couple of weeks is to leave you all with a charge. And the charge I left you with was to push back against the powers of this world that would exclude and exploit and judge, to stay in contact and build relationships based in the love of God in Jesus Christ, to listen to the calling of the Holy Spirit, not simply in big things, but in every moment of every day. And when you make mistakes, know that you are loved with a love that surpasses all human understanding. So here we are again, reading Romans and seeking understanding. But we are also celebrating a milestone in the lives of our young adults who are poised on the edge of the rest of their lives. Oh, I remember how that felt. I remember when I went to church that Sunday that they recognized the seniors, and I just felt so proud, and I was so excited, and I was going to Texas for school, and it was just like, oh, I was so excited about it. This is a really exciting time for new growth, new friendships, and new possibilities. So, Pastor Amy, what's the wonderfully optimistic and inspiring sermon title for this morning? Oh, it's gone. Thank you, Rod. I needed a visual aid. Baptized to death, y'all. That's the title I chose at this wonderfully optimistic, forward-looking time for these young adults, and I would say for all of us. Baptized to death. It sounds like all Paul talks about in this reading is death. He says, died to sin. Died with Christ, buried with Christ, united with him in a death like his. Out of this whole reading, 20 of those words are either death or death related. Now there's some inspiration for you. But oh, what a difference two other words can make. Two of my favorite words and they're used very often in Scripture. You should know this by now with me. Those words are, so that. So that. I've talked about this phrase before, and I will talk about it again and again until you are absolutely sick of it. So that gives meaning to what comes next. So for our graduates, you attended school so that. You studied for tests so that. You were kind to someone so that. You behaved or mostly behaved in class so that. You endured and enjoyed and envisioned so that. Fill in the blanks. You attended school so the truancy police wouldn't show up at your door and drag you off to class, right? You studied for tests so that you would pass the course. You were kind to someone so that they might also have a good learning experience. You mostly behaved in class so that you and everyone else could learn something and not be distracted. You endured and enjoyed and envisioned so that you might graduate into a new life. New life. So that gives all of those struggles, all of those events, all of those trials, so that gives all of them meaning. So that leads you from one state of being into another. It leads you into the rest of your life in a new way and with new understanding and new responsibilities. Paul's whole letter to the church in Rome is one big so that. Chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that we also might walk in newness of life. He doesn't just leave us at death's door. He doesn't leave us wallowing in death, in the end of things. He says, so that there's more to come. Now, if we're going to understand so that, we have to understand the therefore. What is he referring to when he uses the word therefore in verse 4? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that we might walk in newness of life. What is he talking about? Well, in verses 1 to 3, Paul is very specific about the new life that comes with baptism. Now, Paul can be a little confusing. He does this circular reasoning thing, and he keeps going around and around and around the same point, saying it pretty much the same way, but changing it just a little bit so you get confused. But what he's talking about is new life in baptism. He writes that we are no longer bound by the consequences of sin because of Christ's willingness to take on those consequences for us. And that doesn't mean that we could just go sin and do whatever we want. His response to that is, by no means. He uses that a lot, too. If we take our baptism seriously, then we do our utmost to leave sin behind. Life lived under the gift of baptism becomes a new life of putting others first, being merciful to ourselves, and loving without judgment and without exception. That's the therefore part referenced in verse 4. It sets us up for the so that. It establishes a baseline for us as baptized children of God, and then it hits us with the meaning of that. So it says, therefore, because you've had this experience, it's what it leads to. What does it mean? Why is so that so important? Because it means there is always something new to look forward to. Our baseline measurement is as children of God. That is our basic identity. And the result of that is that we may walk in newness of life. I can hear the argument now because it's one I would make myself. But Pastor Amy, I like my life the way it is. I don't want things to change. It's scary. It's difficult. It's awkward. I know. I know it is. When you turn 18 and the next week you are left alone in Austin, Texas, having driven there from Minnesota, oh, I know. I know. It is all those things. And you're thinking about some of those things right now. And there's this excitement, and yet there's also the butterflies, right? What's going to happen? Will I like the new life? Will I be good at the new life? Will the new life like me? Newness of life is always that way. Therefore, we walk into those things with the sure and certain knowledge that we belong to God. And we can face what is to come in a new way. We will be able to meet the fear and the challenge and the awkwardness, because all of that is going to happen. We can meet those things knowing that we will grow in our understanding of who we are and whose we are. So that promises that there is more to our lives, always more to our lives, no matter how long or short they may be. So that reveals the connection between our status as children of God and a deeper love of one another for the good of creation. So that reminds us that Christ's resurrection is our resurrection. Paul says it over and over and over. If we're baptized into a death like his, we are baptized into his resurrection the same way. If we die with Christ, we live with Christ. Always something in the future. And we are reminded that that resurrection is a daily way of engaging with life. Martin Luther, way back in the 16th century, this is 500 years ago, folks, said that we should daily remember our baptism as soon as our feet hit the floor. Give thanks. Because newness of life can be difficult. And we don't always get it right, no matter how hard we try. So we remember that we are baptized into a death like his, dying daily to sin, putting aside that way of life, and knowing that the ultimate penalty of sin is already paid, so that we might experience daily resurrection, a daily resetting of our lives, daily repentance and daily grace, so that we might daily walk as newly formed and newly washed children of God. You graduates have so much ahead of you, so much that is new and unfamiliar and exciting and full of challenge and opportunity and adventure. And I would say that every one of you in these pews today has that as well. a chance to start over, a chance to right wrongs, a chance to speak up on the side of compassion and mercy, a chance to be generous with our lives. This is God's mysterious and wonderful gift. And this is a chance to walk in newness of life. Amen. Choir, let's sing.